This is SB Nation Radio. Here's Joe Spano.
Well, Brandon Albert retires 3 days later. He decides he doesn't want to sit on his couch anymore. To give us the details, here's Ryan Day from SB Nation. Ryan, welcome to the program. Great to talk to you tonight.
Yeah, thanks. Good to be here.
Give us the latest. Brandon Albert retires, I don't know, about 2-3 days into camp. 3 days later, he kind of decides, you know what? I'm bored of sitting on my couch. I'd like to come back. And the Jacksonville Jaguars didn't seem to express a whole lot of interest in Brandon Albert returning.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he was necessarily bored. I think he got home and had a few days to look over his bills and was like, oh, man, this was a real decision. And I think he also realized that by retiring, he was forfeiting some of that signing bonus. He'd have to, I don't know quite how it works. He'd either have to not take it from the Jaguars or pay it back. But either way, he would have to give up, I think, about $3.4 million of a signing bonus that was guaranteed to him from the trade the deal that he did with the Dolphins before he was traded. So I think it was honestly kind of a savvy move by his agent to just say, hey, all you got to do is unretire. If they cut you, if the Jaguars cut you, you'll still get the signing bonus. If you stay on the roster this year, you still get the signing bonus. But if you retire, you got to give that up. So that's really what Albert is playing for here.
Why is it that the Jaguars don't want him back? They actually gave up a 7th-round pick and took on this contract for a guy that the Miami Dolphins were about to release. So maybe you can impart some wisdom to us as far as, you know, why the Jaguars have now had this radical reversal of field after trading for Brandon Albert when he would have been a free agent and would have been cut. And now, just because he retired for a few days, they're not interested anymore.
Well, initially the Jaguars wanted to rework that contract. They weren't happy with it. They thought he was getting paid too much, especially too much up front. So that was a big part of why Albert wasn't in the voluntary mini camps in March. Quite honestly, I think a big part of the Albert trade was getting Julius Thomas off their books. He was set to make a ton of money, and they just didn't want that, screwing up their cap space. So, yeah, I think they also saw that Cam Robinson, I think after seeing a few days with Cam Robinson, they said, this guy's very good. We don't want to kind of keep him at guard or even keep him on the bench, because they saw also this backup guard, Patrick Omama, who was a reserve last year. He played a few games, but they were like, you know what? I think we actually have serviceable left tackle and left guard. We really don't need Brandon Albert like we thought we did. If a 7th-round pick is all we have to do is all we have to give up to get Julius Thomas off our books, we'll do that.
All right. Now, take us through this offensive line, which was an Achilles heel, and perhaps one of the big reasons the 2016 season was so disappointing. In early part of camp, you look at this offensive line. Does it look like it can be a group that can improve from last year and allow this offense to succeed in a way it wasn't able to in 2016?
I mean, unfortunately, I really don't. Because you look at the offensive line, the only thing that's changed is the left tackle. Last year we had Kelvin Beachum, who wasn't great, but he wasn't awful. And we replaced him with a 2nd-round rookie. The other 4 guys are who we had for a good stretch in the middle of the season. Like I was talking about Patrick Omama at left guard. He's okay, but he's not great. You got Brandon Linder, who's very good. He's close to Pro Bowl caliber. You got A.J. Cann at right guard, who digressed last year. And then you've got Jeremy Parnell at right tackle, who he's okay. He's not bad. He's not going to lose you games. But this unit as a whole is very, very meh. And for a rookie running back like Leonard Fournette, who's very good but needs a good offensive line to kind of create for him, it's not very encouraging going forward for 2017.
You know, Ryan, talk about this 2017 draft class and what they look like thus far in camp. You mentioned Leonard Fournette. D.D. Westbrook is another offensive weapon that was drafted in this most recent draft. Talk about what they've looked like thus far in camp and what kind of impact both of these guys can have on this offense.
Yeah, I mean, Leonard Fournette he's a running back drafted fourth overall. So he needs to be getting, somewhere between 12 and 1,400 yards. He needs to be getting double-digit touchdowns. That should be the expectation for him in Jacksonville. And if he doesn't hit that, it's not a disappointing season, but it's something to where it's like, well, he should have done better. As far as D.D. Westbrook, he's done really well in camp. Him and Marquise Lee have been like the two receivers that everyone's just talking about. Everyone's tweeting about. Everyone's throwing videos up on Twitter about. And quite honestly, I think D.D. Westbrook makes Rashad Greene expendable. Rashad Greene was drafted a couple of years ago, and he just really hasn't found a niche on this team. Really, he's just been sort of punt returner and fourth-string wide receiver. But if D.D. Westbrook can be, anything like he was in college, and if he can, field punts, I think that opens up another roster spot, because I think Green's expendable.
Well, talking about wide receivers, and this is a deep group of wide receivers. Allen Hurns leaves practice today or recently injured. Take us through his injury and how he's doing.
Yeah, I mean, Allen Hurns is doing fine. He went down, and it was scary for about, all of 5 minutes there. And the Jaguars this year have been very, very tight-lipped about, injuries, about news, about kind of opening up communication and kind of letting us see some of the, stuff that's going on. Like, for instance, the Jaguars, they didn't live stream their annual sort of scrimmage practice like they have for years and years before. And so they're kind of closing access to media and to the public. So we don't know a ton about what happened with Allen Hurns, but he's fine. It's not something where he'll, miss significant time, where he's going to miss regular season games. But, anytime a guy like Allen Hurns goes down in training camp, you hate to see it, and you kind of get a little bit nervous there.
Brian Day, SB Nation, joining us. We're talking all things Jacksonville Jaguars here. Blake Bortles had a real down year in 2016 after a very good 2015. But you talk about weapons, a pair of Allens and Hurns and Robinson, Marquise Lee, who you said has been the hit of camp thus far, D.D. Westbrook, Leonard Fournette, the number four overall pick as a starting running back. This is not a team devoid of weapons. Do you expect a big rebound from Blake Bortles this year, number one? And number two, what's he look like in camp thus far?
In terms of Blake Bortles rebounding, I really think it goes back to that offensive line. Because they're the ones who are going to be opening holes for Leonard Fournette, helping the run game, which should be carrying this team, because Blake Bortles is not very good. He's one of the worst quarterbacks in the league. He's worse than some backups. So the run game is going to have to carry this team. And it's great that we have Doug Marone and Tom Coughlin leading it, because they want that too. So it depends on the offensive line to help the run game to then help Blake Bortles. And what Doug Marone and Tom Coughlin want of Blake Bortles, I mean, they said in minicamp, a reporter asked them, what's the ideal number of attempts that you would see Blake Bortles take in a game? And Doug Marone said zero. With a straight face, everyone laughed, and he's like, I'm not joking. So this Jaguars team is going to be defined by its ability to run the ball. Blake Bortles is going to be, probably passing the ball 20, 24 times a game. Really, his measure of success is going to be how many interceptions is he throwing? How many times is he turning the ball over? I think Tom Coughlin, if Blake Bortles had completed 60% of his passes, threw for 190 yards, one touchdown, and zero interceptions, I think they'd be happy with that. They want Alex Smith version 2.0 here in Jacksonville.
Well, with that being the case, obviously, as much of an impact as Leonard Fournette's going to have, he's not going to be able to do it alone offensively. Chris Ivory's going to be a key. T.J. Yeldon's going to be a key. Talk about Chris Ivory and if he looks still spry, or has the accumulations of injuries really worn him down? And talk about what kind of factor both him and Yeldon are going to be to this offense that's going to try and run it 35, 40 times a game.
Yeah, I mean, if if we're running the ball 35, 40 times a game, I'm a very happy camper, because that means Blake Bortles is not passing 35, 40 times a game. I think Chris Ivory, it was a very unlucky year for him. He started out the season with kind of a freak injury. He started the season late, kind of a couple weeks behind everyone else. We didn't really get to see what the Jaguars brought Chris Ivory in to be last year. Now, last year he was supposed to be the feature back, kind of 60-40 with Yeldon. But then they drafted Leonard Fournette, and I think what you're going to see is Chris Ivory is going to be he's going to help in the early game. He's going to, you know, he's going to split carries with Leonard Fournette in that first half, but then you're going to see Leonard Fournette just start to just skyrocket in terms of carries and touches in the third and especially the fourth quarter. So if Chris Ivory's getting maybe 5 to 6 touches a game, I'd say that's going to be what you should expect from him. In terms of TJ Yeldon, he's the de facto third down back. And I don't think it's because he's good at it necessarily. I just think it's because they really don't have anyone else on that roster who can be that. He does catch well out of the backfield, but that's about all he does. So when you have your top two running backs who are just big, physical, bruising backs, and then you have a drop-off at Yeldon, and then Corey Grant will probably be the fourth-string guy, it's kind of a mishmash of running backs. But it's the way Doug Marrone and Tom Coughlin have built this roster. So, yeah, I think Leonard Fournette's going to get, you know, probably 75% of the carries. Chris Ivory's going to get 10, and then Yeldon and Grant will split the remaining few.
Now, you talked about Tom Coughlin. You've talked about Doug Marrone. I would obviously think the imprint of both of these guys can be felt all over this franchise. Talk about, you know, how much different this training camp has been compared to the last few. And talk about how much different the attitude on this team is and everything else that goes into the Jacksonville Jaguars with Tom Coughlin and Doug Marrone leading the way.
Yeah, I think it's cliche to say, but this camp has felt a little bit more intense, a little bit more physical. You know, Doug Marrone and Tom Coughlin are very much into the contact element of football, the physical confrontation nature of football. And so what you've seen from this camp, as opposed to the past few years with Gus Bradley running the show, is you've seen more reps. You've seen, you know, quicker reps, so less time in between those reps. So you've seen practices go a little bit more quickly, a little bit more efficiently. You've seen more contact, a lot more contact. And the practices look a little bit faster, too. Guys are looking less choreographed. It looks less like a dance and more like we're going to put you in an actual football situation, and we're going to see how these 22 players react against each other. So I think I think just the physical nature, the quick nature, I think guys are just a little bit more gassed after practice, which is fine by me. But that's kind of the difference between this year and in years past.
Real quick, we got about 45 seconds left. We've talked a lot about this offense, the limitations of the quarterback, the smash mouth style, limitations of the offensive line. We both think the defense is pretty darn good and only getting better. What kind of a finish do you see for this Jacksonville Jaguars team in 2017?
I think the ceiling is 7 wins. I think the floor is 3. And I think realistically you're looking at a 6-10 year. I don't think Blake Bortles is the answer, and I think he really hinders this team.
Fair enough. Ryan, you said it all. You said it well. Let's do it again as the 2017 NFL season for the Jaguars unfolds in front of us.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Bye-bye now. Ryan Day, SB Nation, joining us talking all things Jacksonville Jaguars. Up next, we'll preview game night with Matt Perrault here on SB Nation Radio. I'm Joe Spano. No flipping.